like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
All right, kind of a potpourri of stories today on this Wednesday, February 22nd. Derek Carr. I want to say all eyes are on Derek Carr, but it's not the biggest name in the world as far as a free agency chase here. But the Jets are making their pitch to Derek Carr. They're saying, hey, if you sign with us, you're going to win in New York. And you're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer if you come here and win with the Jets. Well, technically, Angel, if you win with the Jets, which consistently really hasn't happened over the years. You had your Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez years. But if Derek Carr comes in and wins with the Jets, like wins win, you know, they get in the playoffs on a regular basis and all that. And he puts up big numbers. Technically, they could be right. I mean, if you could do it with the Jets and make them successful, that's a big if, though. I mean, what were the Jets last year? Just look at the Jets. They were 7-10. You look at some of their big pieces. With the running game, they had two. They kind of split between two backs, between Breece Hall and Michael Carter. Pretty good wide receiver with Garrett Wilson, obviously, who had over 1,000 yards, but only 4 touchdowns. Decent tight end. I don't know, man. I just get this gut feeling that the end is going to fizzle for the next 5 years for Derek Carr. Like, he goes to the Jets, maybe he signs a 3-year deal with them or something, fizzles, and then gets on another team as a backup. I don't know, man. I mean, he's a good quarterback, but I just get this sense, man, that he's going to fizzle into that good, not great quarterback category. But we'll see. You know, it's Derek Carr for you. All right, some of the other stories going on. How about Brock Purdy? San Francisco 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy has been waiting for swelling in his right elbow to reduce so he can have his torn ulnar collateral ligament in it repaired. The procedure was supposed to happen today in Texas, but Purdy met with a doctor on Tuesday, so the surgery will now be delayed further, according to ESPN. So that's a tough blow right there. If that is the plan, if he is the plan at quarterback for San Francisco, is you want to get that surgery soon. It's been several weeks now since the 49ers ended their season. And you want to get those surgeries. That's why you always hear, like, the week you're done, whether you're knocked out of the playoffs or whatever, the week you're done playing football for the year, typically see these surgeries happen quickly, so not a good sign for the San Francisco 49ers. Jim Caldwell was certainly, his name was coming up as far as head coach for the Broncos. Obviously, we know Denver went a different way with Sean Payton. Jim Caldwell said after all the interviews and such, now of course he's with the Carolina Panthers, he's a senior assistant, he said, "The only job I'm concerned about is the job that I do here, right here, and now. I'm not worried about the future or anything else. I don't plan on being a head coach from this point forward." Jim Caldwell, good dude. Just, Angel, just didn't do it for me. When you hear Jim Caldwell's name as far as a head coach, does it pop? He's not a young and up-and-comer, obviously. And he's not a big, gigantic name like Sean Payton and the Rex Ryans and the Harbaughs of the world. So, good dude. I was just never really excited about Caldwell. So it sounds like he's probably going to, maybe the Panthers gig is his last gig. Maybe we'll see. Peyton Hillis story, good news coming out of that camp. We all know about that story several weeks ago? He expects to make a full recovery after being hospitalized earlier this year when he reportedly rescued several people during a swimming accident in Florida, including his own children. So That was a scary story. Good for him. It sounds like he's going to be rocking here soon. He tweeted out and said, thanks for the love and support. He received a lot of help there. So he said he's going to make a full recovery. Angel, that was a terrifying story, man. And at first it seemed like it wasn't going to be that big a deal, that he was going to recover quickly. And then it just got worse. And then you started to wonder what the long-term situation was going to look like for Peyton Hillis. This is great news, man.
Yeah, definitely great news. I know that story kind of got a little overlooked in the hype of the Super Bowl and the DeMar Hamlin stuff, but good to see that he's recovering and seems like he's going to be okay and be able to spend, you know, some time with his kids again.
Yeah, no question about it. That's going to be great. First advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel, are you starting to kind of get interested or excited in the Rockies, or are you blinded right now by your Battle Hawks? Because I know you're throwing out the smack talk on Twitter and stuff. Are the Rockies like so distant from your brain now with everything going on? Are you looking at it at all as far as getting excited about this team?
The Rockies, my excitement level for them it's kind of right below NFL free agency, which is already pretty low on the list right now. We'll kind of see. I'm interested to see what the mentality and the attitude of this team is going into this season when your owner says you can only play 500 ball, you got your manager back for another year. Can some of these young pieces kind of step up and find a role in the lineup? Can the pitching be okay? It's a lot of questions, but a lot of familiar questions for Rockies fans.
Yeah, if you want to rank my interest level as far as the sports scene around here and where I am, it goes Nuggets number one, number two probably the Big Sky Conference tournament to see what the UNC Bears can do. Then it's March Madness. It's overall college basketball. Then I'm gonna throw the Avs in there. Then I'm gonna say NFL free agency. Looking forward to that. XFL, just because tomorrow's a big day. So XFL's up there for me. What else am I missing here? What else? Like, that's where the Rockies on that level. Listen, when it gets here, I'll be excited. But you got spring training starting this weekend, and I don't know. I'm hopeful we're going to, you know, we'll get our – I'm just hopeful we actually do have a good April. Because typically we have great Aprils, and everybody's like, oh, the Rockies, man, they're going to – no, most people know by now. That's a trap. They're not going to do anything. Don't fall for it. But typically they're okay in April. I don't even know if they're going to be good in April, man. I mean, I want to see Kyle Freeland. I'm looking forward to seeing if he can – really round out into a good pitcher. Austin Gomber turned out to be better than we thought. He was a part of the trade for Nolan Arenado. Excited to see him. Can Ryan Feltner turn it up, be a decent pitcher? Daniel Bard, who was probably the brightest spot for the Rockies. I mean, excited to see him, I guess. Chris Bryant back in the mix. You know, can he stay healthy? Jerry talking about Ryan McMahon yesterday being, you know, he's got to be a big piece that steps up. Well, dude, he should be. He signed a year or two ago? He signed a 6-year, $7 million contract. What was that last year? He was bad. He wasn't good. He struggled at the plate and on defense. He struggled in the infield too. But can he get going here? That's a big one I'm looking at. Chris Bryant. Yeah, just Randall Grichuk. You know, he's going to miss the season opener. He had surgery. He had to repair a sports hernia. Is Charlie Blackman going to fizzle? He's 36 now. That's, you know, I just, my excitement factor just isn't there yet. Maybe that'll change. We just have a lot going on, man. We have a lot happening. Rank yours, Angel. Number one. Is it the Nuggets? Number one. Number one interest for you right now in the sports world.
Yeah, it's definitely the Nuggets at number one as we jump back into the playoff push tomorrow. Excited just to see the guys back in action and get a look at Reggie Jackson and Thomas Bryant in this new lineup. So that's number one right now.
Number one, okay. I'm gonna just tell me where I'm at. I'm gonna predict. I'm gonna try to guess your sec. second interest for you. Okay, you said NFL free agency is down there for you, so it's not high up. You're a UNC Bear alum. It's got to be the UNC Bears in the final stretch of the season and the Big Sky Conference tournament. That's got to be number two, right?
That is correct.
Okay, number three for you.
I got two words for you. Caca.
I was trying to think about it because I'm like, oh, it's not going to be the Avs. It's not going to be overall March Madness, like out of market basketball. It's not going to be okay. Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow's the big day. Tomorrow's the big day that the Sea Dragons get their revenge because they lost last week. Tomorrow's a big night for us, Angel, because the Battle Hawks and the Sea Dragons are going at it.
Yeah, got a little Thursday night football up in Seattle at Lumen Field, home of the other Seahawks. But the Battle Hawks coming in off of their 18-point comeback in 2 minutes last week. Excited for week two of the XFL.
I heard an interesting interview the other day with an XFL owner, and he was talking about, obviously this could be, he was talking about all the positive avenues that the XFL can be. He said he wants the XFL to be a part of the NFL's ecosystem, the football ecosystem. And so obviously when you and I talk, it's like, oh, you're looking at players and maybe guys that were in the NFL, can they recharge their career? Guys that never really made it in the NFL, maybe they could get a shot and do really well in the XFL or just make a decent living playing football still. But I didn't think about this aspect, coaching. The owner said this is a chance for coaches to show how well they do in game. And that resonated with me because how bad was Nathaniel Hackett last year? Do you think, seriously, if the XFL can make it, if they can have, because I mean, dude, they're getting more media, they're getting more press than I've ever seen of any secondary football business. So that's a great sign for the XFL. If they can survive and make a go of this, do you seriously think the NFL teams, when they're up for hiring a coach, could look at an XFL coach and be like, hey, we're going to interview him. He could potentially be good for us. We've seen a lot of these guys are guys that have been in the league for a while, the NFL for a while. But that's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because yesterday we were talking about NFL teams taking chances on younger coaches, the Gannons of the world doing their weird stuff. we're seeing that. Could we see the NFL start to look at, oh, that Battle Hawks coach? Who's the Battle Hawks coach?
Anthony Becht.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, like my guy Jim Haslett is probably not going to be a guy that's looked at, but could you see that happening? Like an XFL coach is really good, and an NFL team looks at it and says, wow, he managed a football game really well. He led this team. He inspired this team.
Yeah, that's not something I really thought about, but when you bring it up, it doesn't sound like a terrible idea. I think of guys like an Anthony Becht that maybe want to start getting into that coaching ladder, and then I look at a guy like Bob Stoops or Hines Ward that are coaching in the XFL. Are those two guys that may be looking to revitalize their career and, you know, get back in those coaching ranks? The Rock talks about it like he sees this XFL as it's a meeting between opportunity and talent. We have the talent. We just have to give them the opportunity. And I think it goes beyond just the players. I think it extends to the coaches as well.
Yeah, because we're seeing so much bad game management. We're seeing a lot of that right now. Seeing it with Staley, with the Chargers. We obviously saw it with Nathaniel Hackett and the Broncos. Like, obvious stuff. So if a guy shows that he can handle when to call timeouts and when to go for two, and I guess in this case when to go for three, when to, you know, fourth and 15 it or onside kick, whatever. Like, there's a lot of in-game decisions that are taking place, and you saw that with your Battlehawks right there. There was a lot of big decisions that went into them making that comeback where I think an NFL team might at least scratch their chin and say, we could bring this guy in for an interview. That's an interesting one. But you're pumped for the XFL. We got a big one tomorrow. Seattle Sea Dragons going up against the St. Louis Battlehawks. It's a big one. Just absolutely massive. Really looking forward to this game. Not much bigger Thursday night specials. I don't think we've ever had one this big, man. This is huge.
No, and I think the casual football fan will actually be able to watch this without a subscription.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's nice. I don't have to get on freaking Amazon Prime and let it buffer for 45 minutes and then hear a legend, Al Michaels, just kind of, you know, sing us to sleep as we watch it on Amazon Prime. Dude, I'm hearing it, though. I mean, obviously ESPN's covering the heck out of this. I'm hearing it all over sports radio, sports TV, the written word. It's out there, man. People, I've never seen secondary league like this get this much coverage. Eastside Chris says, Brady, Paxton Lynch set a new record. Benched NFL, CFL, USFL, and now XFL. Worst Broncos draft pick. Paxton Lynch. Man, that was the quarterback that scared John Elway to death. I mean, that he drafted him in the first round, and that was – I still think that he has nightmares about Paxton Lynch. That was part of the reason I think he passed on Josh Allen. You know, he's like, oh, we already tried that. It didn't work. So we're gonna go with Bradley Chubb and see what happens there. Oh, Josh Allen's on his way to having a Hall of Fame career. 12:21 the time. We're going to take a short break. We got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, coming up next. Let's talk about the anticipation for Buffs football and the spring game and just what primetime is doing so far. This is leading everybody to get pretty pumped up in the area for Deion Sanders. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sean Payton, Russell Wilson. Will it work out? Hear our thoughts on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I was reading Keeler's story in the Denver Post this morning, and did you see the story about the Nuggets practice court, practice gym? Like, there's a leak there. It's pretty bad. There's multiple leaks throughout the walls and everything while they're playing. I mean, it's a rinky-dink place, man. I've actually been in there several times. It's very small and just not a very well-kept facility. And
it's inside Ball Arena, correct?
Yeah, it is. Yep, it's inside Ball Arena. There's I haven't been in there in a long time, but there's traffic cones stationed near one of the padded walls to the right of the main entrance. The cones were not there for dribbling or ball handling drills. Malone said, nope, they're there as a barrier because there's multiple leaks on that area of the floor. Angel, that sounds like our station. Sounds like what we have to deal with, man. This is the Nuggets we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, two-time MVP, number one team in the West, and, you know, we're dealing with a leaky roof in our practice gym. You know, that's dangerous, guys. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, they're
You know, Kroenke, what are we doing up there?
I don't know, man. It's Keeler said, while this served as yet another reminder of how sad the practice facilities are for the two best teams in town, the Nuggets, number one seed in the Western Conference, work out in a church basement that leaks. Well, you've got to wind your way through an arcade of Centennial and turn left at the laser tag to find the Avalanche. Yeah, because the Avalanche play in like some they practice in some it's like a public facility. Like, you and I could go there at some point. We'd have to reserve time around the Avs practice. But, dude, you know what this does? I start looking at this story. It makes me think of Altitude. Or it makes me think of the Dish Network stuff or the DirecTV Comcast stuff. And it just – I don't want to – like, I know a lot of those guys with Altitude defend it. And we're friends with a lot of those guys. But they don't really have any say in this stuff. You look at this, dude. You look at the practice facilities. And then you look at the fact that Altitude is not – that the Kroenkes aren't getting a deal done to allow fans to watch if they have Comcast and Dish. I mean, doesn't this just add to that point that if you're going to play the blame game here, more blame should be on the Kroenkes. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it continues that narrative that, you know, the Nuggets are kind of a joke in some instances, or they're kind of looked over because they don't have the fantastic practice facilities, or they don't have, you know, it's the ability for fans in the state, in the city of Denver, that can't even watch their games.
Yeah, it's just, it's ridiculous, man.
I mean, maybe the teams like the Avs and the Nuggets, maybe it shows they don't need top-end facilities to be successful.
Yeah, that's the way to look at it, with the half glass full there on gel. That's the way to do it, to keep the positivity. I'm looking at it like, dude, you have the three-time MVP. We're just going to go ahead and say that now. Three-time MVP in Nikola Jokic. You have the Stanley Cup-winning Colorado Avalanche that a gigantic portion of the state of Colorado hasn't got to see. We haven't got to. Now, I have. I have DirecTV. That's unfortunate for you guys. But think about that. This is probably, collectively, between the Avs and the Nuggets, because, again, I know the Avs have won other Stanley Cups, but if you want to just say the last 3 years, this has been the best time to be a Nuggets/Avalanche fan. And Comcast subscribers and DirecTV subscribers can't watch their games. You have an MVP doing crazy things. You have a Stanley Cup type team in the Colorado Avalanche, and a gigantic percentage of the state hasn't got to follow it. That is just criminal to me. 31 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, on the other side. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffaloes beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. I do want to remind folks, we were set to have Eaton play Aspen tonight. We're talking Preps basketball playoffs. That game, of course, because of the weather, has been moved to tomorrow night. And I think that's going to be a 5:30 game, but I could be wrong on that one. I'm checking some of my notes right now. Because, yeah, they really were going to try to get this game done tonight, because Aspen actually got into Eaton yesterday and obviously stayed the night. But so it looks like because of school canceled and all that stuff, we're going to reschedule. And we'll have that game hopefully for you tomorrow night, 5:30, 6-ish, depending on their schedule. Blake Olson will be on the call. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Try to get Mark Johnson on the line, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Just kind of wanted to pick his brain about the conference realignment, what this looks like with the Pac-12. I mean, are we seeing potentially San Diego State going to get into this mix? And what does that mean for the Mountain West Conference? What does that mean for Colorado State? See, again, Mark's a CU guy, but this discussion kind of should have Rams fans paying attention, because you want to see what all this movement means. That's our poll question, actually, available at thewholeshow.com. 5 years from now, CSU will be a part of some new conference merger, some experiment. They'll remain in the Mountain West. They'll go to another Power 5 conference, or they'll go to the Pac-12. Most of the hooligans voting on the website here are saying that they're going to be a part of some new conference merger. Maybe 5 years. I don't. I started the show with this. I feel like the college football playoff is opening or giving us some time here. It's giving Group of Five conferences some time, because there's potential. You know, Group of Five. There's going to be a conference champion that's in the Group of Five that gets into the playoffs. How do they show out, though? That's the question. How do they? Are they getting annihilated for the next 5 years? Because if that's the case, then you're probably going to see college football make some changes again and say, this isn't going to be good. All right, we got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, on. And Mark, I'm telling our Rams fans to be paying attention to this conversation, because with all the news yesterday that a potentially San Diego State going to the Pac-12 certainly impacts the Rams for the next 5 years, or whatever the Mountain West Conference does.
In what ways are you talking about?
Well, if San Diego State goes to the Pac-12, I'm looking at the Mountain West Conference going, okay, is it only a matter of time until this starts to dissolve even more? And then, you know, what's that looking like? Does a Boise State end up looking to move to a different conference like a Pac-12? And then, boy, the Mountain West would be – they'd be out of luck, man.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think if you're an investor right now, I say this from a guy that works for an institution in the Pac-12. I'm not sure I'm buying stock in the Pac-12 right now. Mm. Look at what's happening out there. They're talking about an all streaming media rights deal.
I saw that. Is that with Apple? Is that something with Apple?
With Apple, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, you want to talk about having a situation where, in the last 10-12 years here, with the enormous failings of Larry Scott and what he didn't do with the Pac-12 Network and how he screwed that whole deal up, and not having any national exposure, if the Pac-12 went to a 100% streaming delivery system right now, you'd have no national exposure whatsoever. And everyone says, well, yeah, everyone can get it. Yeah. But a large percentage of your audience is not going to go searching for it. And I think that could be an enormous disaster. And, you know, I've seen stuff. Dennis Dodd wrote a piece here just a few days ago talking about, boy, if this continues down this path, you may see the Pac-12 crumble. So,
wow.
I don't know. This whole thing is getting really, really fascinating to me. And I'm not sure at this point where you want to put your chips in, because it's all sitting out there with no obvious end in sight. Let's put it that way.
Well, Mark, I was talking about this yesterday on the show. A lot of people were saying, oh, if San Diego State goes to the Pac-12, what's CSU going to do? And I said, man, if you're thinking Pac-12 is the answer, I'm not so sure. Everything that you just lined out, and that was before we got the news about what, you know, Apple jumping in on this. And my goodness, Mark, if the Pac-12 can't survive ultimately in the next whatever, I don't see how the Mountain West does. You and I have had these conversations. I remember last year at the beginning of the football season, it felt like something was going to happen then. I think the college football playoff news, the expansion of the playoff news, slowed things down a little bit. But here we are again talking about disaster for like at least 90% of the conferences, 90% of the teams, it seems like.
Well, and you know, there's a different level that you're talking about when you're talking about and all due respect to Rams fans, I'm not you know, anyway denigrating the Mountain West Conference. I think it's an outstanding conference, very good basketball conference right now. Holy cow!
Yeah.
And when you look, but there's a different deal happening there. At the top end of this thing, and right now what we call the Power Five, and the Pac-12 is holding onto that by, you know, their fingernails because of how they've screwed this thing up over the last decade plus. If the Pac-12 collapses, if that were to happen, if they just couldn't, if schools start looking at saying, you know what, we got to jump, and you know the Dennis Dodd piece the other day, I think that was on Saturday over the weekend, I saw it, where he was writing about the four corner schools jumping to the Big 12 and Oregon and Washington going to the Big 10 and all kind of, and then leaving behind, you know, the scraps are left over. That may constitute some sort of a new Mountain West type conference that becomes a little bit more attractive. But I don't necessarily think a Pac-12 collapse means anything necessarily bad for the Mountain West. I don't know that. I think they're kind of mutually exclusive at this point in time. So, you know, but then again, we're all just peering into the crystal ball trying to read the tea leaves at this point in time, and so, heck, who knows?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And that's what's really strange is I thought, man, right now with everything going on with primetime, if you can play your cards right and make the right moves, he's got all the attention on this Buffs program. And I felt like, man, this is the time to shine for the Pac-12. You've got maybe the most talked-about program in all of the country. But with Apple, the streaming, all this stuff happening, boy, it seems like it's just going to be a tough uphill battle no matter what you do.
Well, and everything you said right now about what's going on with the Colorado program and the attention being shown on it is absolutely correct. Now here's where, and there are a lot of smart people involved in negotiating these contracts, right? So they're sitting there looking at it and saying, yeah, we see all the attention, we see all of this on and on and on, but, you know, come fall of 2023, If Colorado continues to, you know, be in the national spotlight and the attention continues and the winning is all there, then it's phenomenal. If, you know, whatever happens this fall, let's say it doesn't turn out as well as some people expect, then all of a sudden then that attention all of a sudden dissipates to some degree. And so, you know, just because one person is there, you know, and I think George Kliakoff said this right after the signing of Coach Prime. He said, well, you know, that certainly doesn't hurt things, but it's not like it's going to make the deal for us. And so, you know, there's a lot of positives that we're seeing coming from that in Boulder and around the football program, but that's all awesome, and we're loving every minute of it. But it doesn't guarantee, you know, anything coming up this fall and what's moving forward. And I think the smart people involved in these media rights deals are kind of looking at that and you know, having the same kind of view of that.
Yeah, no, it's hard to disagree. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, with us. Mark, how are ticket sales going for the spring game? And correct me if I'm wrong, I saw something from Football Scoop posted up, and then the Boulder Daily Camera, too, already close to 25,000 tickets, 25,000 sold tickets, and then you got 6,000 free tickets. Are we seriously talking about potentially 30-plus, if not more, going to attend this spring game on April 22nd?
April 22nd, yeah, that's without question. I mean, the ticket sales, well, everything's been off the roof around football, right? I mean, the regular season ticket sales, and you know, they've expanded the number of that, and there's a waiting list for season tickets and sponsorships and endorsements and all those kind of things, and so when they put these things on sale, and I think they were $10 a piece, if I recall seeing that, and people have gone nuts over it. And it goes back to what you were just talking about. I mean, everyone's jacked up and loving the possibilities and the potential that lays out in front of us. And so, it's going to be quite a festive atmosphere, no doubt about that. That will be far the biggest crowd that I have ever seen, and this will be my 20th, technically 19th, I guess. I got here to start my first season. I missed the 04 spring game because I didn't get here until after that. So this would technically be my 19th spring game, and will be hands down the biggest crowd I've ever seen here. I was trying to think back. Somebody asked me today, what would be the biggest crowd I recall? And I don't keep tabs on that kind of thing, but I seem to recall, you know, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 maybe at a spring game being the biggest crowd that I recall. I may be totally wrong there, but that seems to be in my memory anyway. So, yeah, this will be a monster atmosphere, relatively speaking, to what we've seen in the past.
Two questions, then. Do you think it's going to get closer to the 40, north of 40? As far as 40,000, maybe, do we sell out potentially? And then this follow-up question would be, have you heard any more rumors about any of the big networks picking up and actually televising this game?
Oh, I think it's already a done deal. ESPN, I think, is doing it.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. Okay. They're going to broadcast it. You know, we always do, but ESPN's going to get it. Pac-12's always done it in the past. But ESPN's going to broadcast the spring game this year. And
wow.
So that's already a done deal. I'm not going to be shocked there's 40,000 people there. And, you know, and then, heck, who knows? I mean, if it turns out to be a phenomenally nice day and it's just one of those great Colorado spring days, heck, why not see 50,000 there and have a sellout? Yeah, sure, it could happen.
That's insane. That's just insane. Well, there you go. It's confirmed. And again, that's just why you look at all of this stuff happening, and I get it. It's one team. It's one coach. But the Pac-12 can really rally around this. I was talking about this yesterday, and I was roasted by Rams fans. I was like, dude, if you're a Rams fan, you should be rooting for the Buffs to succeed. And then hopefully you're a good enough team to compete and, who knows, pull off an upset. And that just makes you look better. But Rams fans don't want to hear that, Mark. You know how it goes.
No. That's the way it works. You never want anybody that's a rival or somebody you're competing with.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everyone talked about when Kansas City was in the Super Bowl, right? All the Broncos fans. Pat Bowman was famous for saying it. You never cheer for anybody in your division. You just don't do it. You don't cheer for them to win anything. And I understand that. That's part of the atmosphere and I think the culture of sports. So I fully get it.
Yeah, I get it. Angel's a big, my producer's a big Alabama guy, and I asked him, I was like, you're never rooting for Auburn. He's like, oh, no, I want them to lose every single game in the history of life. But I guess in this state, and I'm kind of the in-between, Mark, because I'm not a diehard Rams guy, I'm not a diehard Buffs guy, but I just want to see these games mean something. I want to see the Rocky Mountain Showdown not be made fun of nationally. So I do tend to root for both teams, and then when they play each other, you know, I flip a coin, typically.
Well, and I'm kind of similar to you in that when everyone's playing well here in the state, let's say, you know, the both football programs get rolling and Air Force is doing just what Air Force has always done. I think that's good for football in the state of Colorado. And, I'm never, I'm one of these guys, I'm always going to cheer for the Buffaloes. And, from afar, you know, I'll like a lot of Buffs fans, I say, well, I've got a begrudging respect for the Rams and when they do well, it's good for them. But, you know, there are some fans that just will never, ever accept anybody, you know, that accept their team doing well. I'm not one of those guys. Look and say, you know what, if everyone in the state's doing well, I think that's good overall for the state of Colorado and good for high school football. It draws attention. More kids get excited about it. More families get excited about it. They're buying tickets. They're buying jerseys, all those kind of things. I think overall that's good for everybody, and I'm never going to cheer against that.
Yeah, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Mark, the Buffs coming off of a 10-point loss to Arizona last over the weekend, I suppose. What did they got? Three games left? USC, UCLA, and Utah. We got USC tomorrow night. What time do you get rocking and rolling on your broadcast?
Holy cow, that's a 7 o'clock game. Yeah, the women play. We've got doubleheaders on Thursday and Saturday because the women, because the Pac-12 tournament coming up, they're playing Thursday and Saturday this week. So the women play at 3, the men play at 7.
All right, my man. Well, I'll do what I always do because I know that game's going to be on ESPN, too. But, you know, I turn the game on. I press the old mute button, crank up the Mark Johnson broadcast. That's the way to do it.
It's easy. You know, I get asked all the time, how can we? Because normally, if you listen on, like, the Varsity Network app or iHeartRadio or one of those areas where you can listen online, it's always delayed, right? Well, you just turn on your TV. You listen to me. You go, okay, he's 15 seconds behind television. Pause your DVR for 15 seconds or whatever it is. There you got it synced up, and you get a chance to listen. So that's the only smart people do that, Brady.
Even if I can figure it out, then anybody can figure it out. That's just the way to say it. Mark, always appreciate you, man. And we'll see. We'll see what happens with all this college sports, all these conference realignment stuff. Probably get some new news tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yeah, never yet. It's a never-ending story. So, yeah, it'll just stay on top of it.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Mark.
All right, brother. See you. Bye.
12:50 the time. Let's take a short break on Gel. We'll wrap up hour number two. We still got Cody Tucker coming up for us. Man, dude, it's been a bad go for everybody. I mean, the Buffs, the Cowboys, the Rams, even the Bears. I mean, I had high expectations for all four of those teams, and none of them have really met, at least so far. Who knows? Something could happen in the conference tournament. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's a new Ed in town. Hear the blue and gold spring football game on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Sports Net, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Well, 54 the time. Welcome back into the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. Well, as Mark and I were talking about, Angel, I don't know if you've seen that story, but Apple emerges as a potential landing spot for Pac-12 football. Apple TV emerging as the favorite here, according to the New York Post, CBS Sports, ESPN. With ESPN, Amazon Prime Video, and Fox Sports are kind of lukewarm on the league right now, Apple would end up being the platform for the Pac-12. Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkov could present Apple as a possibility to his school soon, according to sources. Whether the universities would be interested in a potential all-streaming deal and whether the terms would end up being good enough to prevent schools from departing to other conferences has yet to be determined. Can you believe this, dude? I mean, what would that mean? You just talked about... You said, hey, we don't have to watch the XFL. We don't have to watch Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. You're talking all the Pac-12 games going strictly to an online service like Apple TV? I mean, that's got to be a killer, isn't it? And that's why I'm saying if you're CSU, don't look to the Pac-12 right now. You stay the course. You don't look to the Pac-12. Even if they called you today, I don't know that you want to jump onto that ship. It's about to sink.
Yeah, it's with everything seemingly going to streaming, it's almost inevitable that this is going to happen, but I still think there's a large percentage of the population out there that still wants to just watch a football game on just basic cable, and if they can't get that, they're not going to watch.
Yeah, do you think that this would mean there'd be no, cuz you know, even though most Pac-12 games are on the Pac-12 network, does this mean, you know, sometimes you'd see ESPN's going to pick up a big Pac-12 game or something. Would that cut all of that out? Would we potentially never be able to see a Pac-12 game at all unless you do Apple TV? Is that what you're understanding? Or I guess there's more details coming out.
I'm not sure if that's exactly how it would go. I'm sure ESPN has some pretty airtight contracts when it comes to who can broadcast which games, and they may be able to just pick specific games that they will get to broadcast. I know that they do that with CBS and Fox and other networks.
Yeah. Well, who knows, man? It'll be interesting. We'll talk about more of that coming up on the other side. I got Cody Tucker going to join us from 7220sports.com. Talk about a very tough year for the Wyoming Cowboys, specifically head coach Jeff Linder. More whole show coming up next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.